to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Sheriff's Office in with us this morning, and we're going to talk about holiday safety and just a lot of common sense things as we go along this morning, but a lot of things that we all need to be reminded of as we go along. First Lieutenant Lee Peters here with us this morning from the Stafford Sheriff's Office, and we welcome Sergeant Jason Foreman is here this morning. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for coming in and welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Doing good, and it's good to have you guys here with the holidays coming up. The first of the big summer holiday weekends, Jason, I guess. Always good to remind us about a lot of traffic things, and one of the first things will be Thursday night, probably then from Friday on, you think the holiday traffic's going to be an issue around here.
Yes, sir. Yes. So you actually started seeing it probably yesterday, maybe even into last weekend. But as you mentioned, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's going to be even into Monday. Obviously, we'll be very busy with people trying to get to a destination and then obviously get back home. So, if you're traveling this weekend, I think everybody just needs to realize that there's going to be traffic and people should be calm and be patient and, you know, make sure you have a couple different alternative routes because obviously people are going to crash and it's going to cause major delays. And if you have to be somewhere at a certain time, you should definitely look at other modes of transportation to get there.
And distracted driving, always a huge thing out there. I'm amazed. Last week I went up to Dulles two times, and
we're glad to see you got back safe.
The number of people that I passed that either were on the phone, and this was on when you're either on 495 or 95, either on the phone or just doing things they shouldn't do on the just being distracted. It's astounding to see the number of people on the interstate doing that.
It's interesting because I think people think, hey, I'm in traffic, so I need something else to do because I'm not moving. I'm going to pull out my hair curler or the phone or it's whatever other something, fidget widgets or whatever they have now, and I'm just going to do that because I'm not actually driving very fast. But it does cause just problems all over the place. So like Jason said, we ask people to just have some patience. I mean, if you're on a tight schedule trying to get somewhere, it's probably not going to work so well this weekend. And I heard something this morning. They said, you know, just in Maryland, like 83,000 people were supposed to hit the highways to move, and in Virginia, it's going to top 100,000. So you put all those people on the highways going the same direction, going to the same place, and the beaches are opening and all that kind of good stuff. It's going to be a lot of testing of your patience. So just relax a little bit and have a plan to sit and meet people on the interstate and wave and be nice.
One of the times, Lee, when you were in here, I remember we were talking about if you're late, you're late. And what happens is if you try to make up that time, generally, you're either going to get in an accident or you're going to get a ticket and you're going to really be late.
Well, it's funny. You know, I still do a little bit of traffic enforcement, and I'll have people, especially in school zones or on Route 1, they'll pass me, and I'll stop them, and they'll say, hey, I'm late. And I'll usually look at them and ask them, well, how much later are you now that you met me? And they look at me, and they say, ooh, that's a good point. And then, you know, we sit there for a few minutes to go run their license and, you know, come back, and whatever we do, we do. But, you know, it's just you have to account for if you're going that fast, you're probably going to attract law enforcement attention and it's going to make you even later. So just slow down some. It'll be okay.
Well, when we talk also about distracted driving and also about sitting in traffic, a couple of things that I encountered last weekend were the situation where you are sitting and you got the person in front of you then who's starting to look at their phone. As traffic then is moving, there's this big gap, and you're still sitting there, and you can get rear-ended that way if I'm not paying attention that you're not moving, all kinds of things.
You know, people fall in that trap, and, you know, I can tell you that you know, we as law enforcement, we fall into it as well sometimes. It's not an uncommon occurrence, but the issue is you have to kind of fight through it. You have to say, you know, I got to put the phone down. I got to concentrate on driving because, again, if I crash or if the police stop me or if the sheriff's office stop me, then it's just going to make that day that much worse. So it's a conscious effort these days because, you know, there's so much you can do in the car. There's so many buttons, gadgets, phones, and iPads that it can really take over your driving instead of actually driving.
Yeah. Well, and Jason, you mentioned a few minutes ago of either expecting, knowing that on this weekend it's going to be busy, or having some ideas of some options of how to avoid some traffic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't. I think some people might lose sight to when a holiday comes around, like all of a sudden the construction stops on the roadways, and you know, people don't keep working. So, you know, when you come into this weekend, take Friday as an example. We're going to have everybody coming home from, you know, D.C. or Richmond while people are still trying to go out on vacation. So, you know, there's all kinds of alternative modes of transportation to get to where you want. I'm a big train fan, so, you know, I like riding the train wherever it, you know, will take us. And then I don't have to worry about getting in accidents or getting pulled over by the lieutenant or anything else, you know. So, you know, I just try to find all other means to get around. But, you know, I think that's the big thing. And we were actually dealing with something this morning up near the courthouse where we're about to start a pretty large construction project, obviously. And, you know, traffic just stinks. There's no other better word to use it right now or to use right now other than that. And, you know, people are unhappy. We've been getting calls almost every day for the last couple of weeks about it. You know, until we're done with the project, it's just, you know, it's going to get worse until it gets better.
Well, yeah, in your case, about the last time we talked, probably the work was still being done on 17, and that was where the construction, but now it does come up right up by you on that whole project on 630.
Well, I'm a 18 fanatic, and a quote that I heard on there was, it's always darkest before it goes completely black. So that's kind of where we are right now in the courthouse area, because if you look at it, Courthouse Road is going to be shut down and moved and construction, and you have the Hot Lane project coming through at the same time. So you're going to have a lot of things going on, and everybody has to go somewhere. So, you know, you can expect Route 1 to be that much worse. You can expect, you know, Austin Ridge to be that much worse. It's just going to get much worse until it gets better. So it's just something we got to start to plan for. It's growth in our area, which is great. It's, you know, VDOT and the state are finally putting the money to improve our infrastructure, which is great. But it comes with some growing pains, and we just have to kind of adjust our lives for a couple of years to account for those growing, so it can get better. But it's gonna get pretty bad. But, you know, we're prepared for it. The sheriff's office is planning for it. VDOT's planning for it. We're gonna make it as painless as possible for the citizens, but there is going to be a little bit of adjustment to go through.
Yeah, between that and then where the hot lines end on 95 is always slow, and as the construction begins there to extend them, it's...
You brought up the 17 project. I think this is going to be our first big test to see if that extra lane helps us on holiday weekends. It's been working great on the weekends. I mean, every weekend you kind of expected that traffic to start backing up, and it's been moving, so we've been happy with the project. It's going to be very interesting to see how it handles holiday volume.
But when we talk about growth, it is interesting. It's the Falmouth Bridge has been done now for a couple of years, and you can start to see now, and VDOT said, as growth in the area continues, that's going to slow down, and it is starting to slow down. Not like it used to be, but...
Yeah, it's not like it used to be. I've got pictures still back at my desk of like how the old 17 intersection used to look.
Oh, you used to sit there
because
forever.
It was horrible. I mean, that was just a bad intersection. But they did a good job, and you know, it moves traffic. I like it the one thing that I think they spent a lot of time working on was the signal right there in that intersection. Whatever the program is that they have that is able to, you know, go back to the loops that are actually in the road to figure out where traffic is. That's what we're working with them to do up on Courthouse in the meantime, because we need it to, you know, basically be a smart head and be able to make decisions on the fly, not just a normal rotation as we go around.
Yeah. Sergeant Jason Foreman here. First Lieutenant Lee Peters is here from the Stafford Sheriff's Office. More coming up. We'll talk about pedestrian and motorcycle safety when we come up, when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is First Lieutenant Lee Peters and Sergeant Jason Foreman from the Stafford Sheriff's Office in with us this morning as we get ready for the holiday weekend and summer travel and just summer getting around in general. You both are on motorcycles, and Lee, I know you do a lot of motorcycle riding on the side, just as I know you take trips to North Carolina on your motorcycle.
I do. I've been riding bikes since 96. I'm MSF instructor and motor officer, so I really do enjoy motorcycling, and it's a challenge in this area. And we ask people to watch out for motorcycles. You know, it goes back to distracted driving. You know, we see a lot of motorcyclists injured every year because, mm-hmm. you know, people are texting, they change lanes, they pull out in front of them, they're not looking, they're just not paying attention or looking for that motorcyclist. And also, coming out of the winter months, people aren't used to seeing them, so they've got to readjust their minds to understand there's motorcyclists out there. But, you know, on the other hand, we've also got to talk to the motorcyclists and ask them to ride safely and responsibly. You know, We do have issues with certain riders doing things that, you know, make us other motorcyclists look bad, and that's not appreciated. But, you know, there are thousands upon thousands of great motorcyclists out there, some great organizations who promote safety, some great motorcyclists who are involved in clubs who promote motorcycle safety and doing the right thing. So our experience with motorcyclists in this area are generally very, very positive. But as with everything, there's always a few that ruin it for the masses. So we just ask people to watch for motorcyclists, take that extra time, pay attention to the road, and we ask the motorcyclists to ride responsibly and defensively.
I have seen some cases in traffic, especially going to Northern Virginia, where I see where motorcycles will go between cars, mm-mm. and sometimes it's terrifying to see it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I've stopped some motorcyclists doing that, and they're like, I'm from California, we can do it. Well, welcome to Virginia, you can't. So it's just about learning the law and, you know, you understand sitting on a motorcycle, especially a Harley. You know, we ride Harleys to the sheriff's office, and they get hot. So you're sitting there with 300 degrees coming up, 90 degrees coming down. It makes for a very uncomfortable day. So they get impatient and say, you know what, I can make it, and I'm going to go for it. It's just illegal here in Virginia, so we ask you not to do it.
Jason, do you ride? I mean, I know you ride with the sheriff's office. Do you do it? I'm assuming you also do it on your free time.
I do not.
Oh, okay.
The lieutenant doesn't give me any extra money to do it on the side, so I can't afford a nice bike like his.
Now, so. You did have a motorcycle, motorcycle, right?
I did.
You had one, right?
And then I sold it.
But
I used to ride on. You know, I used to. I think all of us at some point rode. For joy, and it's fun to do so, but it's a lot different when you're an actual motor officer and then you get on your own personal bike and you're like, I can't turn around. I'm out here to have fun, not to go enforce laws.
Well, go ahead, will you say something?
Well, Memorial Day weekend is always a big weekend for motorcyclists. You've got a bunch of people that are going to be riding to the Pentagon, mm-hmm. and up to D.C. There'll be a couple of rides. We're helping with one out of Fredericksburg Motorsports on Sunday. So, you know, there will be an increase of motorcyclists out on the highways this weekend. And plus, people start taking their trips and doing their vacations and just riding for pleasure. So there's going to be a lot of them, so please ride carefully and please watch out for the motorcyclists.
Well, and I guess to watch out for them, I guess one of the main things is if you're changing lanes, just take that second look,
yeah.
and pause before you do that, because you don't want to hit somebody.
It's when the basics of driving come back. You have to turn your head, look over your shoulder, check that blind spot, look at your mirrors, and then, you know, proceed carefully and cautiously, because again, you know, you have about a quarter of the width of an actual car riding down there, and sometimes we can be sneaky at times on motorcyclists. You'll never see us, and you know, mm-hmm. I like a nice quiet motorcycle, so you're not going to hear me coming. You'll see the bright green of my motorcycle, but you do have to look for it because they are rather small.
What's it like? I would be just terrified on the interstate on a motorcycle.
Well, it's actually fun. I mean, when I'm on my personal bike and you know, I get on the interstate, I just hear the theme song to Chips running through my mind, so it's it's really, really a good time. And I know a lot of people say I'd never ride in this area, but again, if you truly love motorcycling, then you don't really care where you do it. If you had to pick a place, this would not be it, but it is definitely, you know, a good time. And there's so many other motorcycles on the road in this area that it's really a good thing to do. So, you know, I know people are upset because of traffic and, you know, everybody's frustrated, but I've never had a problem. I mean, the only real problem I've ever had was on a police motorcycle, and, you know, that was a dump truck driver, and he said he never saw me, but I had my lights and sirens on, and he just didn't look. So we had a nice long talk about it. We forgave each other, and we moved on.
Speaking of Chips, if I were casting for Chips right now, you two would be my top two. You two would be fantastic.
The comic value of that would just be astronomical. I mean, you know, Jason and I rode together for quite some time, and, you know, he was my partner on the motorcycle, and, you know, the amount of, I think they call it chicanery, that went on while we were patrolling and doing our jobs. I mean, it's really, when you look at good jobs in police work, that is, you know, in the top five of having fun and being able to do your job and just having a good time. So you really don't see too many angry motor officers. You may think so when they stop you, but you really don't see that. But it's a great job because, I mean, you're on a motorcycle, you're out there in the weather and interacting with the public, and it's a good time.
First Lieutenant Lee Peters here, Sergeant Jason Foreman from the Stafford Sheriff's Office. We talk about motorcycle safety. Pedestrians have got to be careful, too, at all times. And I continue to see people trying to cross 17 or Route 3, Route 1, and you just got to be careful.
Yeah, our pedestrian, actually here in the county, our pedestrian crashes have gone up a lot this year because people are just kind of just doing dumb things.
And that's exactly what I've seen people do that. And you just wonder, what are you doing?
What are we doing here? So you know, it's not uncommon here in the county to find a road that doesn't have a sidewalk on it, right? I mean, that most of our roads are. Obviously, with the proffers, our new roads allow or at least receive the sidewalks. But, you know, you get people that just, they don't know, maybe, how to properly walk against traffic, you know, that they should not be wearing all black in the middle of the night. You know, or we should not run across eight lanes of traffic.
Right.
We should maybe go to the traffic light where there's a light specifically for pedestrians to use.
We see a lot of that. We see, you know, I'll be on 17 sometimes, and I'll see somebody crossing from one side of 17 to the other side of 17, and it's like a game of Frogger, and you're watching this go on, but the impressive part about that is they're 20 feet from the actual crosswalk. So you ask yourself, you know, what is so important across the street there that you have to cross here?
Yeah.
With, you know, and 17 is known for its truck traffic, and we've had a couple of fatalities on 17 because people have decided to try and cross, you know, in just some inopportune places, and they'll cross during stop traffic, and then they'll try and sneak out in the road, and it ends tragically. So, you know, we understand that it's a problem, but the pedestrians also have to take some responsibility for it and try and do it safely, because again, you know, there are laws that protect drivers from pedestrians, and it's funny, you know, we've had pedestrians hit and they say, you know, when are you going to write that driver a summons? Well, here's the thing. I actually have to write it to you because you were wrong. You have to cross where you can be seen. You have to cross at a crosswalk if it's available. And you can't just jump out in the traffic and expect, you know, this 80,000-pound truck to just stop and not hit you. So it works on both sides of the street. There are laws for pedestrians. There are laws for drivers. And we got to coexist here in a better manner.
I was just going to say to you, I've seen some close calls, and it's been that kind of a situation where a truck's coming, and you know that it's the light is turning yellow or about to turn red, and they're going to have to go through. You got to let them through, and legally, you might say, "Well, I had the walk sign," but you got to look.
Yeah, you have to take some responsibility for what you're doing. And again, you know, if you're in a crosswalk and you have the walk sign and you go across and somebody doesn't yield, then, you know, obviously it's the driver's fault. But if you're crossing at an inopportune place in between two traffic lights and you're just doing your best Frogger that you can do, I mean, it may not end like you want it to, and it may be a very painful lesson for you to learn. So we just ask people, you know, walk facing traffic so you can see things coming, you can see mirrors. Just make sure that you're using crosswalks, you're crossing at signals, you're crossing at intersections, and that helps everybody out a lot. And the same goes with bicyclists. You know, bicyclists, there was a new law one or two years ago that said that you have to give a bicyclist 3 feet when you pass them. You can't, you know, just graze them with the mirror. And bicyclists do have the right of way on a roadway. They have the same rights and privileges as a car do. And that frustrates people to no end. Like, why does this bicycle have the same, well, they have to follow the same laws. So, again, it's about sharing your road, coexisting peacefully, and just having patience in this area. And that's going to be, you know, the theme of things here is just patience.
Patience, yeah, yeah. Now, when you mentioned the scooters sometimes out there, and now that they have a license, and you get behind one of those, I've done it on Lafayette Boulevard, and you just don't think you're ever going to get by, but you just have to...
Well, the scooters are limited to below 35 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're in a 45 zone and you're behind them, they're supposed to stay to the right, but you've always got to find a safe place to pass them.
And
it can be very, very frustrating. But, you know, legally they can do what they're doing. So we have to give them those rights and help protect them.
Yeah.
I always find it funny to see whatever the wardrobe is that the scooter is wearing.
Yes.
There's always a special wardrobe.
There is.
Every time I look at them, I'm like, is that a football helmet you're wearing? What is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I like to just go find them around, right around during the daytime, try to find them. Oh, look at that.
I have seen that, yes.
It's a leopard-printed raincoat. Look at that.
Speaking of a raincoat, it looks like there's going to be on and off rain this weekend, and that's never good. It seems around here, especially last week and this week, when we've had rain, people forget how to drive too. And with on and off rain and that kind of thing this weekend, that won't be a good mixture.
What was it, Monday? We had all that rain. It was like Disney on ice out on the roadway.
Yeah.
It was horrific. I mean, there were cars in ditches and upside down and just spinning out into each other. And there were so many single vehicle crashes in the county that day. It was horrendous. And it happens every time it rains. And I'm still trying to figure out. When I figure this out, Ted, I'm going to share the answer live on your show.
Thank you.
On how we can get people to understand that when the road is wet, friction may be reduced, and it may cause your car to do silly things.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got beat up Monday with just crash after crash after crash in the rain. So, you know, we have to tell people our roads are, especially our back roads, are kind of antiquated. So they don't have the newest in asphalt and things like that. So you gotta slow down and understand your car. And if you don't, it's just gonna end in bad news.
Disney and Ice and Frogger, two of the things that we've heard about this morning that will always be in my mind now when we have things.
So we got two shows. We got Chips and the A-Team, and we got Frogger and Disney on Ice. So we're going to see what else we get into the show this morning.
I still think that you two would be just perfect for Chips. So we're going to work on that.
Yeah, I've got the laying the motorcycle down part down. So I could be my own stunt man sometimes.
Yeah, you could do it. First of all, Lieutenant Lee Peters, Sergeant Jason Foreman from the Stafford Sheriff's Office here this morning. We will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
From the Stafford Sheriff's Office this morning, it is Sergeant Jason Foreman here, First Lieutenant Lee Peters, and we are talking all kinds of holiday things. Just a shout out to Mike Powell, who usually has been in this group and is not here with us this morning. But
the truth is, he got voted off the island. It was kind of survivor rules. And,
well, yeah.
And somebody had to go, and it was him. But
yeah.
No, hey, Mike, he's actually working this morning, so we'll say hi to him and thank him for his service and keeping us safe while we're out here. So.
Exactly. And the chair he always sat in remains empty this morning.
It's creepy over
I'm
there.
I'm taking it to the dumpster.
So, okay. Thank you.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah. It's... We move ahead as we talk about various safety issues. One of the things we always talk about around school time, and it's even though school only has a few more weeks, always good to talk about bus safety. And I know that's one of the things that you guys spend a lot of time on, and that I know just as driving around Stafford, Spotsylvania, the city, I see all kinds of offenders with school buses.
So this is the thing about school. So school buses are not going to stop just because it's summertime, right?
That's true. Yeah.
We got summer school coming in. Our summer school seems to keep getting larger and larger each year. I'm sure there's somebody on the school side going, no, we're doing better. But I seem to see more and more buses each year. So the one reason why we really wanted to talk about this is that this kind of plays off the first part of the show, where people probably know that they're breaking the law, but they feel that they need to go wherever they need to go in such a hurry that we're just blowing past school buses.
Yeah.
For several weeks, we drove around in the biggest marked vehicles we have in the sheriff's office next to a school bus, and people blew right past both of us.
Wow.
Like we were sitting still, which we were at the time, I guess. And you stop most of them, they're just like, oh, well, I need to go somewhere. Okay, well, you know, you just ran over a little Johnny back there. So, you know, we now have to deal with that part. But that's why we wanted to bring that up. We've got to pay attention to these school buses. Route 1 here in the county is off the chain when it comes to passing school buses. And, you know, everybody needs to really educate themselves on what the law says, right? So on Route 1, where we don't have that divided highway, they have to stop. So just because they don't like to, or they don't think they're going in the right direction of the bus, they have to stop. So yesterday we went out and did enforcement for a couple hours during yesterday's rush hour, and the amount of cars that passed buses just blew my mind again.
It's not even buses. You know, I spend almost every morning when I walk on at Stafford Elementary School, hi to all the kids and the staff out there, and I stand out in the parking lot and help direct traffic, or I'll be inside, and the biggest complaint we get is, you know, watching the cars on Courthouse Road go screaming through the school zone. And what we try and tell people is Courthouse Road, the east side of it, is one school zone. I mean, it's three schools, but it's actually one large school zone from 7 o'clock in the morning until about 9:15 in the morning, because you've got the high school, then the middle school, then elementary school. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten so bad with people coming through the school zones recklessly. You know, I put the traffic guys out there for a couple of days because, you know, there are people who just decided they were not going to do 25 miles an hour, and we've got people doing 45, 50, 55, 60 miles an hour. And when you stop them, like, well, I've lived here all my life, I didn't know this was a school zone. Well, there's three schools here. They've been here since the early 60s. What do you mean you didn't know that? So, but people get distracted. They put their life ahead of them. And it's funny, I'll talk to them, and I'll be talking to the person I stopped, and I'll see four or five car seats in the back, and I'll say, let me ask you a question. I said, you have kids? Yes. Well, is this the way you want people driving around your children's school? Oh, absolutely not. Well, hold on. You can't act offended because you just did that somebody else's child. You know, there's 300 kids in here who would appreciate you doing 25 miles an hour. Yeah. And it's amazing how offended they get when you ask them that question. It's like, why would you ever ask me that about endangering my children? Because you just did it. So when you put it like that to people, they start to think, oh my goodness, you know, the same with residential areas. You know, I sometimes run a little radar on my own neighborhood, and I had a neighbor of mine come past me at 40 in a 25 zone. I said, you know, you've got kids. You want me driving past your kids? Well, no, why would you do that? Well, you just did it.
Yeah.
So you can't act like because you're doing it, it's okay, but everybody else has to follow rules. We need everybody to help keep our roads safe. And, you know, it starts in the school zone because that is a condensed area of, you know, 300 to 500 kids, and parents and school buses and walkers and joggers and everybody else who wants to get where they're going safely. So please pay attention.
And again, Jason, the big thing is you've got to stop unless there's an actual divide in the highway.
Right, right. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people don't understand, or they pretend to at least not understand, but, you know, you have to stop, you know, for those buses. So, and I know that it's probably frustrating, you know, the one bus that we follow around a lot on Route 1, it's you know, a special needs bus. It takes a long time to load some of those kids onto that bus. We like to get out and you know, give them a little bit of high fives when they get on the bus in the morning. But people get upset because they can't get to work, you know, or wherever they have to go that morning. Well, you know, you just got to kind of wait and be patient, you know. that's just part of life, I guess.
And like what we talked about earlier, plan it out.
Exactly.
If you know that the bus stops there
every day, right? That bus is there every day at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the thing shows up at different times of the day. It shows up at the exact same time every day. If you don't want to sit there, then, you know, leave 5 minutes early. Or 5 minutes late if you want. It's up to you.
I do like people act like we as a sheriff's office just randomly plant buses just randomly to stop people.
Well, you do, don't you?
Well, Ted, come on now. We don't tell your secrets. Don't tell ours. No, but, I mean, you know, you can go on the internet and Google the Stafford County buses and get the times and locations of every bus stop in Stafford County and know when and where they're going to stop. You know, it's like clockwork. Twice a day, they're going to be at that location. So we just ask people again, the theme of this weekend is going to be patience. And the theme of the summer is going to be patience as well.
Yeah. Funeral escorts are another thing that we'll run into. And you guys are often involved with funeral escorts if you're going to cemeteries and all. And we can't just cut through if we want,
right.
Can we?
So this is actually the start of a bigger public safety announcement that we're doing for the community, because we're going to push a lot of stuff out on social media and some billboards and whatnot. So we do funeral escorts sometimes 2, 3, 4 a day up and down Route 1, right? Everyone, you know, again, everybody gets all angry because we're slowing traffic down or whatever. You know, we're showing final respects to those individuals. Mm-hmm. And if it was your family, you would expect us to do the same for your family. You can't interfere with a funeral escort. So, you know, when we come up into intersections, we stop traffic, we move traffic in the direction of the escort is going so that we can get the escort through. You can't just jump in the middle of this escort and hope that you're going to sneak through. I can't tell you how many times the lieutenant and I find cars that literally will throw their four ways on and get in the middle of an escort just so they can get down the road, thinking they'll get to wherever they're going faster.
Really?
Yes, it's that bad. So
you want to see an officer come unhinged.
Exactly.
I see that. I mean, it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, the family is grieving, and we do a lot of things people don't understand for the family. You know, we really don't care what kind of lifestyle the deceased person lived or what they've done with themselves. It's about, you know, giving the family that last piece of respect and honor and helping them cherish their loved one because they had a different relationship with them than we may have or whatever else. It doesn't matter. It's generally, you know, if they ask us for the service, then we are going to provide it because the family deserves it. So that causes contention sometimes, but, you know, that's our stance, is we're going to do. But people will turn their four ways on, slide into an escort, and we'll see it because we're watching the entire line, and then we'll stop them, and it becomes chaotic. So, like, well, we just thought we could get in here and we'd get through to the Prince William line because we knew you were going to stop traffic. Okay, well, no, you can't do that. Here's a lovely parting gift for you. See you in a couple weeks, and bye-bye now. So it's just, you have to show that respect. And, you know, you do see a lot of people in this area, especially being military, they'll stop, side of the road, they'll get out, they'll salute, they'll put their hand over their heart, or they'll just sit there quietly and patiently, which is, it's very nice to see. We get a lot of that here that a lot of people throughout the country don't get. But, again, you just cannot interfere with it. You can't pull in the middle of it. One of the big things is, for my motor guys, you know, they're going from intersection to intersection. When you get impatient and you pull out of a side street in between that escort, there's a good chance that you're going to hurt one of my motor guys, and that's never a good thing. And you can look, one of the most dangerous things that motor guys do in their career is funeral escorts, because people get impatient, they pull out of side streets, they try and cut in and out, and they'll hit that motor guy, and we have no protection once we hit something at 50, 60 or higher. So it's, again, I know it's inconvenient. You know, I've been in my personal car, and it's funny, I do this for a living, and I'll be in my personal car, and I'll see a funeral go by, and I'm like, what in the world? Why are they in the... Oh, wait a minute. I know this one. Okay.
Yeah.
You take a deep breath, and you sit there, and you're like, okay, in my respects, and we'll sit quietly, and, you know, I'll pray about it later because I was just bad. But you just have to understand that we are going to do it. We're going to honor that family, and we'd like for you all to help us do that.
It's generally not that long.
It's not. We're moving, you know, anywhere between 35, 40 miles an hour. And the one thing that I think people don't understand is the amount of, I mean, we don't just, like, show up and to do an escort. The amount of prep time that we take to get ready for these things, the training that we go through to make sure that we can do it, because it's not just the safety of us. We need to make sure, obviously, that, you know, you as maybe the soccer mom going to soccer practice is safe as well, right? I mean, we have to, we can't just run around the county doing whatever we want. We have to keep people's, you know, safety in mind as well. So, you know, there's a lot of prep time that goes into these things. There's a lot of training that goes into this. You know, we don't, when it comes to a funeral escort or a dignitary escort, we're going to run them the same way. But we do a lot of escorts in this area. We have a lot of things, for the lack of better words, to do escorts for. So we just need people to start realizing this is what an escort looks like. When you have all of this equipment up front, you know, this is what's coming behind it, right? An escort, we don't need you to get in the middle of it. You know, just pay attention to the officer that's in front of you that's telling you, you know, what to do and where to go, and you'll be fine. We'll get you through wherever you got to go in a safe manner. So you're going to see a lot more of that come out in the next couple months.
Okay.
As escorts start to pick up again, I mean, really, this begins our busy season.
And the larger ones that we have, you know, we usually advertise. We'll put, you know, message boards up or put them out in the community and say, hey, we're going to have, you know, an extremely large escort, whether it's bicyclists or if it's going to be, you know, military. And, you know, we do have an obligation in this area. We have a large military presence that we owe, you know, a debt of gratitude to when they give their lives or they've exactly. retired and they've gone on. We're going to, because our office is a large military population, we feel that obligation to you know, honor them properly. And if we can do the escort, we're going to. I mean, it's the culture of our agency and how we do business. So, you know, we understand that some people don't appreciate it. That's fine. We also sympathize with that. But with the large military population, you know, police population and all the different federal people that work around here, if we have the chance to, you know, give that proper respect and honor to a deceased person and their family, we're going to do it. So we'll try and make it as painless as possible for everybody else, but just understand that, you know, that's one of the things that our sheriff, our former sheriff, and our command staff believes very, very highly in, is paying those respects to people.
Key word this morning, we should have had T-shirts made. Patience. We all should be wearing our patience.
That's going to be the word of the
T-shirts. For that today. First, Lieutenant Lee Peters here, Sergeant Jason Foreman from the Stafford Sheriff's Office. We'll wrap this up. We'll talk about See Something, Say Something when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Sergeant Jason Foreman here, First Lieutenant Lee Peters here from the Stafford Sheriff's Office. It's always an adventure to have you guys in here and talk about things. Let me, before we get into see something, say something. What happens? Walk me through the scenario when I'm on the road and I see you're going somewhere. You got the lights on, and hopefully you're not after me. But you need to get through, and I need to get over.
Right. So what you should not do is take your hands off the wheel, put your hands over your eyes, and start singing a song. That just
don't do that.
For the best. Don't do that. That's what apparently we are running into, right? So when you see cars, so we're going to stay in the left lane 99% of the time, you know, unless there's something crazy going on.
Okay.
And we're going to get around you. We're going to stay in the left lane. We do not like, it's not like movies you see where we, you know, go in and out of cars. We don't do that because it's a risk to other people, other motorists on the road, right? Not to mention ours. So we're going to stay in that left lane for the most part. We need you to get out of the left lane. We need you to move so we can get going to you know, whatever it is that we're going to. You know, we don't run code just for the fun of it. It's not like it's, you know, trust me, when we run code, it raises our stress level a little bit because, you know, we now have a lot more factors that plays into our driving when we do so.
And you're trying to get to where you're going as quick as you can.
Exactly, to then deal with whatever that situation is. So not only am I having to worry about whatever the situation we're going to, but we're trying to get there safely without hurting anybody or hurting ourselves. So we need to get out of the left lane. None of this locking it up in the left lane and just stopping randomly. We've had that several times.
So I should get over
get over
on the shoulder.
Yes, sir. Just get over the nicest way possible. Just get out of the way. We've got to get going. So, you know, my truck is not very fast, so it takes like a lot of gerbils to get that thing moving sometimes. So it's very difficult when I come up behind somebody slams on their brakes, and then I got to come to a stop because we're not going to whip around you. We're gonna stay in that left lane. It's just not safe to try and go in and out of traffic. So the lieutenant brought up a great point. You know, when we're on back roads or rural roads, you know, if you're coming at, if you see emergency equipment coming at you, you need to stop, and even if you're going in the opposite direction, because we might have to get around something that's in the direction we're going. So, as he was joking about, don't stop next to the person that stopped in the oncoming lane, because then we can't fit through there.
Yeah.
But and don't stop in curves. We're not going to risk somebody's life trying to go through a blind curve. If, you know, if we're behind you, we'll be patient. You just got to get out of the way of that curve so we can get to a straightaway and get past you. So another big public safety announcement that we're going to push after the funeral escort part with that, and then the move over law, two big things that people should watch for that's going to be being pushed out here soon.
Now, we've talked about the move over law. I mean, you've been in here before and talked about just how for you guys standing next to the so close to the road. Right. Scary stuff.
Well, there's you know, hundreds of officers every year that get hurt or injured, and you know, the law is expanded to, you know, public safety workers, if it's rescue workers, ambulance, tow truck, anybody with yellow lights, anybody working, you know, we do owe it to their families to move over some and let them get home safely. So, you know, we can't ask enough that everybody follow the law, and the law is very simple. If there's another lane or way you can move around that vehicle, the law requires you to do it. If not, you must slow down and pass them safely. So we start that push every summer as people start to travel more, and there's more activity, more crash and things like that. So we just ask people to move over, slow down, and let people get home to their families as well.
Now, you've talked, I'll never forget the stories you've talked about, as you stood by the side of the road and you can feel the breeze of that car so close to you.
Yeah, that's not a good feeling, Ted. It's kind of creepy. And, you know, I remember, I'll never forget, you know, my partner Chris, you know, we were standing on the side of Route 1, and I was watching his back, and he was dealing with the driver, and there was this elderly couple pulling a fifth wheel motorhome coming up Route 1, and we ended up doing a hood slide as we tackled each other over the hood when that mirror was coming towards, you know, my partner. And it was the worst experience of my life. And then we had to deal with a lady because she had, you know, she just got the car 2 days ago, and we put all kind of scratches over the hood as we were trying to get out of the way, because we weren't going to make it that day. So it's very personal to us, and we just ask people to protect everyone. Even if you see somebody changing a tire, if there's room to move over, move over.
We are out of time. I need to have you back, because with everything in the world, to see something, say something is a topic that we do need to talk about. So maybe we can get you back in next month.
Just say something real quick on that. Real quick is, we've had a lot of help from the citizens this year in solving a lot of cases, especially, you know, kids breaking their cars. So thank you to the citizens
for
that. Please keep sending us information. No matter how small you think it is, it has helped us solve many crimes in Stafford County. So thank you for that.
First Lieutenant Lee Peter, Sergeant Jason Foreman, thank you. We'll see you soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Ted.
The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.